Blog Talk Radio.
Located here on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And as always, I'm excited to be here. It's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King in the studio. Yeah. So you got me on this side and you got my producer on the other side of the glass, y'all. And we are excited about today. It's Praise Break Friday. Y'all know how we do. And today's topic is going to be good, y'all. Might help somebody today, right? Might help somebody today. I hope y'all ready for this. Praising God in hard times. Oh, Lord. Praising God in hard times. That's the time where we're going to be excited and ready to be a part of today's broadcast, man. So I hope y'all ready for it. I hope you're ready for it again. As always, y'all, I'm excited. Let me give you the rundown how you can be a part of today's show. If this is your first time watching, first time listening, any of that, I'm going to give you the rundown real quick. If you want to be a part of the show, if you're already listening on the line, meaning some of y'all already called in. I know how that works, right? Some of y'all already called in. You're just sitting there listening. You just push one and you could be a part of the show. If you're listening, that's right. Just push one. It'll get you to my producer. She'll get you over to me and we'll be in good shape. Amen. Amen. So that's how you do that. Just push one. And you could be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, the call-in number is area code 347-934-0546. That's how you can reach us. Again, that phone number is area code 347-934-0546. That's how you can reach us. Amen, amen. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that. You can follow us on social media. Do a simple, you can tweet the show, TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. That's 2 T's, 1 L, 1 O. You can reach us right there, TTLO Radio. That's real easy to do. You can tweet the show, 2 T's, 1 L, 1 O, TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us there. Amen, amen, amen. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can do that as well, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us there. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you guys that way. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do that as well. Instagram, TTLO Radio. That's how you can find us there. Instagram, TTLO Radio. We are all over that as well. Amen. Amen. And then if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. That's where you can find us if you want to email the show. Look forward to reading you all's emails. Again, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. That's where you can email us. Love to read those emails. Y'all come on and send them in. and I'll be glad to read it. Say something good though. Now, don't send us no mess. But I'll read it regardless. I'm respectful of other people's opinions. So we can do that too. Amen. Amen. So looking forward to hearing from you all that way as well. Amen. Amen. Also, the live streams are up and running, right? I believe. Let me check. Huh? We good? Yeah. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Ustream.tv. Just do a simple search. Or Taking the Limits Off Radio on Ustream, and you can find us there. Do a real simple search, Taking the Limits Off Radio. You can find us there on Ustream. If you have the phone or you're in front of your computer, for those of you who are just listening and you may want to see what's going on in the studio, you can do that too. Just do a simple search. Download the Ustream app. That's all you got to do. You can download the Ustream app. It is absolutely free. Download the Ustream app. You can find us there. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. Once you do that, hit the subscribe button, and then you'll get the alert every time the show goes live. You ain't got to wait for nobody to invite you. You got your own invitation. Amen? Amen. That's how that works. Amen. Amen. And then we're live right now on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We're live on the book right now, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us there. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us. Amen and amen. Always, always love hearing from y'all on Facebook. Facebook conversations, y'all be having me crying, man. It's a good time, always, always, always. And then we're also live on Instagram. What's going on to the gram? How y'all doing? We're live on Instagram, TTLO Radio, 2 T's, 1 L, 1 O, TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us there. Tyrone Lewis, really? That's where you can find us there. Amen, amen. Are those happy tears or sad tears? That's what I'm trying to figure out, Ty. Are them happy tears or sad tears you putting up there, or you just crying and laughing? Which one is it? Anyway, we are good to go. I'm just excited to be here, y'all. So you can find us on the gram, TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us, y'all. Looking forward to hearing from you guys on Instagram. Amen, amen. This is going to be a good time, good time, good time, good time. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Do a simple search, Taking the Limits Off Radio, Taking the Limits Off Radio. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. Google us. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to know about it. Look, ain't got to have nobody tell you something. Don't hear no rumor. Just Google us, and you can find Taking the Limits Off Radio. It's real simple to do. We'll be the first thing that comes up. We've been on that long enough, right? Amen, amen, amen. I think that's it, right? That's it. Good. We good to go. Hopefully everybody is good. It's been a good week. You know what? This crazy weather. But look here, I want to talk about something. So you know, we were talking about Monday and Wednesday. We were talking about the shootings here in the city, and unfortunately, the news has not gotten any better. The news has not gotten any better. Apparently this morning, an ATF agent was shot in Chicago in the back of the yards area. An ATF agent was shot. For those of you who don't know, ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, meaning these are the people who deal with guns. Now, I don't know if he was on duty. Nothing in the information that I've read so far doesn't say whether or not he was on duty. I'm just going to give you what the news is reporting right now. It says an ATF agent was critically wounded in a shooting on Chicago's South Side early Friday morning. The agent is part of the newly created ATF Crime Gun Strike Force. He was on a federal mission with Chicago police assisting when shots rang out around 3:15 a.m. near West 45th Street and South Hermitage Avenue in the city's back of the yards neighborhood. It says early reports said he was shot in the head. The ATF confirmed later Friday morning that the agent was shot in the facial area. Officers were going to take the agent to a firehouse on South Ashland Avenue, but instead took him straight to Georgia Hospital in a silver SUV with tinted windows. It backed up to the ambulance bay, and they rushed into the ER. The agent was listed in critical condition. Authorities gave a brief update later Friday morning saying the agent was expected to be okay. A CPD officer involved in the federal operations was also taken here by ambulance just for observation. He walked out of the back of the ambulance and into the emergency room. He may have exchanged shots with a suspect. Now, check this. Now, here is the part. Here's the part. Yeah, okay. Here's the part. And Spank, what's going on, Anton? Here's the part that gets me. It says, where is it at? The area was cordoned off for hours Chicago Police Department Superintendent Eddie Johnson ordered the deployment of all specialized units to support the ATF's investigation. So what's going on, Spank? So they pulled all police officers from whatever they were doing, whatever specialized unit you were on. They pulled everybody in to try and find this shooter because they assumed he was still in the area. Now, that's wonderful that they pulled all these resources in to get these shooters. That's wonderful. But y'all know where I'm about to go. Y'all know where I'm about to go. Y'all ain't got to go with me, but you know where I'm about to go. So you pulled every police officer from their specialized units, whatever they are, gang unit, drug unit, whoever they are, you pulled all of them from their specialized units because the federal agent got shot in the facial area. Got it? Got it. All right. Let's talk about something. In 2 days, we had a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old were shot. What massive response did we get from our Chicago Police Department? I know it's going to get me in trouble with my friends on the police force, but I don't mean no harm, but I got to just ask the question. What massive response did we get from the Chicago Police Department? What massive response? What? How many units were pulled in to catch the shooter of the 5-year-old and the 4-year-old? I'll wait for some sort of answer from somebody. If y'all know who on the line, listening, watching, if you're watching on Ustream, if you know what units was specialized units was pulled to find the perpetrator of the 4-year-old shooter and the 5-year-old shooter, please let me know. You over here on Facebook, if you know anything about the specialized units that was pulled in to find the shooter of the 4-year-old and the 5-year-old, please let me know. If you over here on Instagram, if you know somebody, if you know the group that was pulled to find the shooter of the 4 and the 5-year-old, please let me know. I don't hear nothing. It's awfully quiet. I can hear a rat peeing on cotton right now because that's just how quiet it got. Because I don't know. I'm trying to find out where we are with this stuff. Ain't nobody got nothing for me, huh? No, nobody got nothing. No information, huh? No, ain't nobody got no good keen words. Spank said good question, and Spank, coming from you. You saying good question just lets me further know. Oh God, that just lets me further know that ain't nothing happening, huh? I'm trying to understand. I really want to understand. I really want somebody to help me understand. Why is there no massive forces or units being put out? When 4-year-olds are shot on their front porch and 5-year-olds are shot walking to the park to play, where is the specialized units? How many people were pulled from their desk duties to go out and help investigate the shootings of these babies? I'll wait. Still waiting. Mm-hmm. That's a no. Guess that means none, huh? Yeah. So see, here's my deal. And again, it goes back to what I said before. We're going to have to help police ourselves. We're going to have to help police ourselves. I said this the other day. Y'all know who's shooting these shots. Y'all know who they are. You know where they live, or you know where they hang. You know where they work. You know where they do their dirt. Where are we at with our information? I don't hear nobody. Where are we at with our information? We got to do a better job, y'all. We got to do a better job. This is starting to happen too often. This is starting to happen way too often. Way too often. Five shot. One failure in the Holman Square drive-by. Five shot and one fatally wounded in a Holman Square drive-by. This was yesterday. A young mother is one of the latest victims of deadly gunfire in Chicago. The 21-year-old was killed, and 4 other people were wounded in a drive-by shooting in the city's Holman Square neighborhood on the west side, according to Chicago police. Where is the specialized unit? How many people were pulled off from whatever they were doing to come find out who shot these five people in the Holman Square? Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said he's concerned about the recent uptick in gun violence. He spoke Thursday at the 11th Police District about the department's continuing effort to stop the violence. He says, we've seen a little uptick in the last couple of days, said Johnson. Yes. Yeah. The district also includes the Holman Square neighborhood where a 21-year-old mother of a toddler, Nakia Bailey, was killed and four male teens wounded in drive-by as they all stood outside in the 3500 block of West Grinshaw Street Wednesday night. The woman suffered four gunshot wounds. The woman now. I'm reading what the report says. The woman suffered four gunshot wounds to her ribs, shoulder, and back, according to police. She was taken to Mount Sinai Hospital, where she was later pronounced dead. Look at the ages, y'all. 21, 19, 18, 15, and 17. These are the ages of the five people that were shot in a drive-by yesterday. 21, 19, 18, 15, and 17. Those are the ages of the five people that were shot yesterday, and the oldest one being 21 years old that was pronounced dead at Mount Sinai Hospital. It says the Harrison District is also known as one of the so-called hunt centers that's located in 13 crime-prone districts of the CPD's 22 districts using the predictive technology. They say gun violence is down 20-30% in districts where the centers exist since February. I'm sorry. And then here's the part that gets me. It says, while some may make a connection between warmer temperatures and gun violence that left over three dozen people shot in over 3 days, Johnson said his goal is simple. Warm weather doesn't catch us by surprise. Just shootings in general always is a concern to us. Let me ask this question, and maybe I'm out of line. And Spank, you can help me out. And I don't want you to get yourself in no trouble, but help me out. Today is a decent day outside. Now, tomorrow, it's scheduled to be 85 or 82 degrees in the city of Chicago. Because it's going to be 82 degrees, and we know these areas happen to be hot spots all the time, i.e. East Garfield, West Garfield, Lawndale, Auburn Gresham, Austin, and Inglewood. We know these areas are hot spots. That's six different areas in the city of Chicago. Let me ask this question. Does the police department look at the weather report like we do? Now, maybe it's just me and I could have a real small mind about this. I could be ignorant of the situation. But when I know that it's going to be 80 degrees, when I sit on this radio show and talk about, we know they're going to act stupid because it's hot. Is the police department also saying, hey, it's going to be 85 degrees. We need to get these areas and make our presence felt more in these areas on these specific days? Is that possible? This is why, is that at all possible that on days where we know the weather is going to be nicer, that our police department can disperse more officers in these quote unquote hot spots throughout our community so that they can quell some of the violence? Because if there is a presence, and then watch this, not just the police. Maybe it's something our churches need to do. Our community leaders need to do. We know that the weather is changing. We have some responsibility, too. Because it's changing, can we make our presence more known in the community on these hot days? Can we be out in areas where we know that it's going to be more violent than normal because people are outside more and it's more likely that there's going to be more mess because you have more people standing on corners? Or is that me thinking too far ahead? Is that me thinking too outside the box? Is it wrong for me to expect that because of the history in our city that people tend that the violence tends to uptick when the weather changes? Is it wrong to assume that we should have more presence on the street? meaning police officers, churches, community leaders, community organizations. Is it wrong for me to think that that makes sense? And again, we as a community, we can't blame the police because we can't expect the police to be on every corner. But then if the police, let the police be on the corners that they can be on, and then we make our presence known on the other corners. And then, you know what I'm saying? So, because they can only be spread so far. And they still have jobs to do. So what's stopping us from going out and making our presence more known on some of these other corners? Where is the support? Felicia says, I'm curious to know why does it have anything to do with the weather? I've heard crimes taking place everywhere from everybody throughout all seasons. Felicia, okay, that is a very good point. However, I'm speaking of strictly what happens in our communities here in the city of Chicago. The very first day, think about this now, we've had 30-plus shootings. Felicia, because and again, there is a correlation. I'm not blaming the weather, but there is a correlation. When there are more people, there are less people out on the street. Four weeks ago, when we were complaining about it being 35 degrees in April, okay? 4 weeks ago, when we were complaining about it, 3 weeks ago, rather, when we were complaining about it being 35 degrees in April, you didn't have 60 and 70 people standing on different in different sections. I'll give you a good example. Driving through East Garfield, East and West Garfield the other day, right? One of the first nice days. The traffic was so bad, not because people in cars, because there were so many people on the street. I'm talking about between Cicero and Independence. There were so many people out because they were out because it was like people were coming out of hibernation. And truth be told, a lot of folk who out there doing dirt on the street, they coming out of hibernation because the weather has changed. And when you have a larger influx of criminals who are out on the street because it's nicer, they tend to come out more on the street. Well, guess what? So do their enemies. So you, the innocent person who's walking to the store like you would any other day, now you got to walk past people who are liable to be targets of other people. So it's not necessarily the weather that's causing the issue, but it's the weather that watch this, I'll say it like this. It's the weather that, it's the atmosphere. Because now you have people who are out, they're hanging out. Because my question is, what are all y'all doing in the middle of the day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Angela, my twin, says, now if it's violence, who do you think anybody wants to be out, especially if they think they'll be shot? Let's be realistic. Wait a minute, what did you say now? Now, if it's violent, she says, okay, I got it. Caucasians commit crimes all year round, and we only do it in the summer. I think a lot of stuff about Chicago is that, Manny. I respect it. No, the shootings take place all year round. I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying that the shootings don't take place all year round. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they don't. We have history that shows us that the shootings take place all year round. But what I'm saying is, if you go back and just look at the news reports, and it's not the media that's exaggerating it, this is the case. In the last few days, you've had more shootings because there are more people out. So if put it this way, if you already have a violent area, And let's just say you have a violent area and only 10 people are outside, so one out of the 10 gets shot. But now the weather breaks, and now you got 200 people outside. That's going to mean if we're talking just 10%, now you're going to have 20 people that's going to get shot when you're in a violent area. Again, not blaming the weather. Yes, people shoot all year round. Crimes are committed all year round. However, in these areas, like right now, outside of this church where my studio currently is, right across the street in the Austin neighborhood between Lake and whatever, there is more of an influx of people just standing around than it was 3 weeks ago when it was 35 degrees outside. Nobody was just standing on corners when it was 35 degrees outside. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So there is so there is a correlation. There is a correlation there of you have people hovering on corners that they do not own. You have more people standing outside on corners doing dirt. Let me see here. Did you know that there was a heroin epidemic in DuPage and lots of robberies because they, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. There's a, oh, well you're saying heroin, I get it. The new politically correct word is an opioid issue. See, it's an opioid issue, Felicia, because it reached DuPage County. It's been an issue in the city of Chicago and Cook County for years. But because it has now reached the suburbs and it has reached rural America. How you doing, Pat Hicks? Bless you. Because it has reached rural America, it has reached suburbia. Now it's an opioid issue. When it was just Junebug leaning on the corner, y'all know the crackhead lean. Y'all know that heroin lean. You know, the one that be like this here. You know that right. When it was just them on the corner looking crazy, that's just what they do in Chicago. But now that you got little Tommy, you know, when you got little Tommy and little Sally, you know, getting high on heroin and all this other foolishness. Now it's an opioid issue. Now there needs to be some money set aside. Now we need some programs. Now we need some stuff. So no, I absolutely know what you're talking about, Felicia. I understand 100% what you mean about that. She says, "Yep, and we are stupid and ignorant. We commit crimes, but they have mental issues." Yeah, we thugs, and they have mental issues. Don't you know we know the language now, right? Our children are thugs, and their children are disturbed. This is the language. Our folks, when they commit crimes, they are thugs and gangbangers. When little Billy goes and shoots up a school, he is just disturbed. He's not a thug. He's just disturbed. He's troubled. That's the proper term. He's a troubled. He's troubled when little Bobby goes and decides to shoot up a theater. He's a troubled teen. When it's one of us, he's a thug and a gangbanger. How about this? All of them is thugs and troubled. All of them are criminals and troubled. I don't care nothing about all that stuff. All of them crazy. All of them bad. Now, real talk. There are too many people, she says, I understand why they say this, but I hate when we say this about our own. Yeah, we do. That's why so many people got upset when our former president, Barack Obama, called people thugs. A lot of people got upset by that. And you know, when during the riots and the protesting and all that stuff. And here is the deal. And I wanted to say this. There are a lot of mental issues in our community. We've talked about this so many times that go unchecked in the black community. There's no way, and I've talked to too many people who work in the mental health field about this, so I'm not stating anything, I'm not making stuff up. There are too many people walking in our communities who are suffering from mental health issues. Why do I say that? You cannot live in these areas where people around you are being shot and killed on a daily basis and it not affect you in some way. Our people are suffering from PTSD. You have people in these neighborhoods who are suffering from the violence that they live in. You can't tell me that living next to and every time you hear a gunshot, you know, like you treat it as though, you know, Vietnam vets. A lot of Vietnam vets don't really like the 4th of July holidays. Right. They don't like it because of all of the firecrackers and the M-80s and stuff exploding because they have flashbacks. Well, you have children now who the minute they hear the loudest thing, they instantly jump for cover. That's not normal. That's not normal. When you hear a gunshot, she don't need no approval. We had an infiltrator. Where's the security at the front desk? We ain't got no security. LaTanya Melton. Where's look, as she tipped off. Bye. Lisa. Where's the security at the desk? Hello? Then she disappeared. I heard you chime in and then you went away. Anyway, y'all, it's my mom was here. That was my mama who was standing behind me, y'all, back there for a minute. Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, As I was saying, yes, now I hear myself, my echo. Latonya, you got something you want to say? No, she don't. That doesn't she want to say? Because I hear myself in the echo, so I'm gonna put you back over there on mute. Amen. Anyway, we. So yeah, my mom brought me some balloons, y'all, because tomorrow is my birthday. So that's why she was up here doing what she's doing. And I asked her, did she have permission? And she said she brought me here. She don't need no permission. So there you go. So I'm gonna just leave it at that. I don't want no problems. There it is. Anyway, is that obituary? What you looking at? Is that? Oh, I thought that was the obituary you was looking at. Was that there? Oh, that's Miss Johnson. You remember Miss Johnson, my seventh grade teacher at... Yes, I went to the fume. Don't you... Oh, Lord have mercy. Look at the date on there. Anyway, see, this is why she don't come in here. Anyway, y'all. So, here's the deal. Let me go back to your comments, Felicia, because you made a very good point. Felicia says this. She says, I have PTSD because I have a black son and I don't live in Chicago. Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because anytime you have a male black son, and it used to be just sons, but now it's daughters too. Because those two people that were shot, that 4 and 5 year old, those were girls. Those weren't boys. The 21-year-old that died in the drive-by in Holman Square yesterday, that was a young lady. So you're absolutely right. You just being a parent of somebody black, you have PTSD. Because you don't know, they leave home, you don't know what might happen. You know, and you don't know if it's the police that's going to do it or if it's some fool with a gun that's going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So we have to do a better job. But again, my question is this. Are we not recognizing that there are some mental health issues in our city, in our communities? Let me put it that way. So as because Felicia, I understand you don't live in the city, but period. Are we understanding that there are some mental health issues in our city, that our people are suffering, that our people are suffering from mental health issues based off of what they see and hear on a daily basis? Watch this. Even if you don't live in the community, but you have to watch on the news every day about hearing about more and more black folks getting killed, you don't think that has some sort of adverse effect on your thinking? Help me understand. We know better. We got to know better. So, you know, that's what I want to say about that. Now, I'm gonna shift gears ever so slightly. Ever so slightly, I'm going to shift gears, and I'm going to try to remain somewhat calm and all of that good stuff. On yesterday, where is this at? Let me close this out over here. Let me pull this up. On yesterday, we had, where is it at? There it go, right there. Yesterday, in the state of Illinois, let me see if I can find it. Illinois passed a law yesterday, y'all. And I don't know if y'all saw it yesterday, but there was a law that was passed in Illinois about schools yesterday. And I'm going to give you this yesterday. It says, I'm reading from the Chicago Sun-Times news report. Springfield, Illinois. The Illinois Senate has approved requiring public schools to teach LGBT history. Y'all done got real quiet. It was Lord have mercy. The Illinois Senate has approved requiring public schools. That means at your child's school, whether it be Chicago public school or a suburban public school, they have approved requiring public schools to teach LGBT history. The Senate voted, watch this now, 34-18 Wednesday on the plan by Chicago Democrat Heather Steens, Now, I don't know who she is, but I'm going to look her up in a minute. Heather Steens. Yeah. From up north. 5533 North Broadway. Not surprising. Anyway, let me finish. It says it would require schools to teach a history unit on the role in society and the contribution of gays, lesbians, and other LGBT individuals. Steen says it's consistent with state law that already requires students learn the history of races or ethnicities like Black, Asians, Hungarians, and French people. Really? California is the only state with an LGBT education law. It was enacted in 2017. Republican Senator Chuck Weaver of Peoria says the initiative could infringe on religious freedoms. Other Republicans say schools would maintain control over how the topic is taught. So effective with next year's school session, there will be a requirement that some teacher starts to teach your children about lesbian and gay history in America. Now, we allowed them, I'm trying not to cuss because I feel like something want to come out of my mouth. We allowed them to take prayer out of schools. We allowed them to take prayer out of schools. But now we're allowing them to teach history. And the way that they're putting this in is to say it's going to be taught just like they teach history on other ethnicities. Because you know they consider LGBTQ. Did I get all the letters? Because you know they add a new letter. LGBTQ, EFGHIJK, whatever. They all of that, they want you. They want to teach this as though they're teaching it as if it was learning about another ethnicity. See, this is why y'all thought I was playing. I want to start a group, my own ethnic group, of people whose middle toe is longer than their big toe on their foot. Can we just start a group and say, we feel a certain way? Because pretty much you can start a group saying, I identify as a certain individual. And if you get enough people to say they identify with you, then all of a sudden you become a protected group. So can we get some protected group of people? Can we just start some groups? I want to start a group of people where we don't want to be bothered with this mess. Can we just start a group of people for that? Now, I know some people are going to want to say that it's hate speech. Guess what? Get somewhere and sit the hell down. This ain't got nothing to do with no hate speech. Why do you get to dictate what gets taught to somebody's child? And then you want to know why people want to do, and Angela, you're absolutely right. You want to know why people want to start doing homeschooling. Because now you're going to have some teacher trying to teach your kids about something that you may not want your kids to learn about just yet. And then you're going to teach it as though it's normal. I'm sorry, and I know this probably ain't going to come out the right way, but I'm going to say it anyway. There is nothing natural. I'm going to say it again. There is nothing natural about a man kissing a man and a woman kissing a woman. There is nothing natural about it. It ain't. It ain't. Ain't nothing natural about it. Exactly. Felicia says in the religion and Black history are right. Right. Because you look, they barely teach. Black history gets a blurb in the history books now. African American history is not even taught anymore. It's a blurb in the book. Well, you know, because according to y'all's dude, you know, according to Mr. West, slavery was a choice anyway, so it make no sense of us to talk about it anyway, right? Hell, I mean, you know, that's what he said now. So what's the point of talking about it? But we want to talk about the history of the LGBTQ movement. But we mentioned Black history, and the first thing somebody say is get over it. We mention black history and they say get over it. We mention black folks being oppressed for years and they say get over it. But you want to teach our babies about the LGBTQZAI, capital F, whatever, all of that. Crazy as hell. Only in America. Only in America. Only in America could this happen. So your child at some age, what age group? You see, this is the part that it does not tell us. What age group will they start teaching this? At what age group will they start teaching this to the children? Can somebody help me with that part? At what age group will they start giving this information to y'all's children? What grade? Pat Hicks say you right about that. Sorry, women, but there's nothing you can do for me but be my sister in Christ. Bless the Lord. You, that's all you can do. y'all know I'm not. I ain't trying to be funny, but I'm serious. This is asinine. What age range? Now, Laura Stevens, is that an accurate quote you're giving me? Is it kindergarten or when? I don't believe that now. Please don't tell me that. But what time, what grade does this requirement kick in? I'm just curious. When does it kick in? When does it kick in? Angela Johnson, you're right. Angela says, my daughter says she's gay, and I'm good with that. That's my sugar, she says. But she knows I believe it's nasty and as homemade sin. She totally understands me and I her, but I minister truth and love. Oh, amen. 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 That's just the wind blowing. That's just the wind blowing. It's all right. It's just, it happens all the time. That's the wind blowing. Amen. At some point, though, we have to stand up and say, and then just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I hate you. The minute you come up and say I don't agree, then you're preaching hate. You're spewing hate. You don't agree. You preaching hate. Says who? In what life is that? Tell me, please. But don't nobody know. I'm trying to find Tanya. Can you find out for me? Maybe you can find it quicker than I can because I don't want to keep sitting here looking and clicking on stuff. When does this kick in and what age group and all that stuff? When exactly does this does this thing start? I'm trying to find it on here and I don't see it because it's just amazing to me. And this is gonna be the new deal. Yolanda King says the LGBT.
Come on, let's stay in that spirit right there. If you're free, say I'm free.
I'm a free worshiper.
I thank God I'm free, and I'll never be bound again.
Because some charter schools do receive public funding, do they not? I'm just wondering. Ain't nobody look. It's gonna be a little touchy. It's gonna be a little touchy. Y'all help me understand. And we supposed to be okay with it. We ain't supposed to say nothing. Well, just you know, let them do what they do, and we'll be all right. They've already made us, churches have already had to change their bylaws because, you know, you got folk now. This came up at one of our district meetings in our church district. It came up about, you know, about folks marrying LGBT people. You got some, you get a couple, you get a gay couple that joins your church, and all of a sudden they come up and say, "Hey, pastor, I want you to marry my name is brother Johnson. I want you to marry me to brother Mitchell." And if it ain't in your bylaws, guess what? You in trouble. Now, Angela, I need you to help me with your statement, because, you know, sometimes I read your stuff and I want to make sure you clarify. So please clarify your statement, because you said just teach it righteous. How can you teach it, though? I'm just curious as to who's like what's the I'd be curious to see the curriculum. That's what I want to see. I want to see the curriculum of it. Because is the correct, where is, you know who I wish I had on here today? Where is Cornelius Williams? Where is the good prophet Cornelius Williams? That's who I need to have on here. Because I want to know in what vernacular will they be teaching this particular subject? I just want to know, how is it, or is it just the history? Are they going all the way back to Harvey? You can't teach it Bible based. Oh no, it's not in school. What are you talking about teaching? You can't teach it Bible based in school. I want to know this: if we can teach history on the LGBTQ community in schools, how come we can't teach Bible in school? Why can't we have a why can't we teach Bible in school? This country is founded on Christian beliefs, right? At the end of the day. This country was founded as a Christian nation. Why can't we teach Bible in school? I'll tell you why. Can't teach Bible in school because the LGBTQ folk gonna fight it. I'm gonna leave it alone. Let me check my emails. We have some emails in here because I my email wasn't open. Tanya, can you make sure you keep an eye on the email? Appreciate you. Not at all. We can do better than that, y'all. We absolutely can do better. This is insane. Yeah, we got to teach it. Let's start some homeschool groups and teach it. That's good. Look, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into today's article, Praising God in Hard Times. We're going to take a quick break. And then, since it is Praise Break Friday, might as well be a praise break. Y'all don't hit me. Might as well be a praise break. So we're going to do that. Let's do it like this. We're going to take a real quick break. And we're going to jump right back, y'all. Let me give y'all a little bit of this. Oh, I like to go in. Let me go in. Where's Larry Donnell Trotter at? Come on, Larry. Say something. Come on.
Tell somebody he is wonderful.
My.
Now put your preacher
on. Come on,
where
that?
He is wonderful. There are a lot of things I could not do for myself, but he did them for me. Tell somebody he is wonderful. I brought my own shout with me. I just thought about it. I dare you to think about how wonderful he is. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Look at somebody say the Everlasting Father. Somebody just holler Wonderful. I told y'all that was the word of the year. Look to your right and your left, say Wonderful. May your week be wonderful. May the rest of your year be wonderful. May your whole life be. I don't mean to push this point, but is there anybody that has proven himself to be wonderful? Just go to about three people and say, he is wonderful.
All right, we're back, we're back, we are back, we are back. We are back, we are back, we are back. Ain't nothing like Larry Donnell Trotter to set you off just right, boy. Bishop Larry Donnell Trotter will set you off quite right. Amen, amen. So look, so here's the deal. before we move on. I'm curious as to the response from those who work, from my Christian brothers and sisters who work in the education system, whether it be Chicago public schools, suburban schools, public schools, wherever you are. I'm curious as to your thoughts on this law that was just passed, and what's your response going to be to this? Let's see. Tyrone says, no Bible-based teaching, even though our currency says, in God we trust. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, they ain't going to let you teach. They ain't going to let you teach. They're not going to let you teach. And that's why it's imperative, and the onus is on us as the Christian community, in the Christian community, rather, to make sure that we're teaching our kids the right things. Because now you got to be worried about what your kid going to run into when he gets to school. How are Christian children supposed to respond? Now, you're teaching your kids a biblically based, as you're giving your kids a biblically an education, and they're going to a public school, but then you're teaching them Bible, you're teaching them what it means to be a Christian, you're teaching them this, and then now they're going to go to school and they're going to get indoctrinated with this new, whatever this curriculum is. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait for somebody in the Chicago public school system to let me see. I promise you, if I can get my hands on a copy, I'll tell y'all about it as soon as I can get my hands on one. But I'm curious as to what the curriculum is and how they're going to explain it. Because I can just tell you off the top of my head, they're going to teach it under the fact that you're born this way. I'm going to tell you that off the bat. That's going to be the thought process. They're going to teach it as though you are born this way. Not that it's a choice, a choice like slavery. Y'all know I ain't going to never let Kanye forget that. They ain't going to teach you that it's a choice. You was born that way. I'm going to help somebody. I'm curious. So y'all help me out. If y'all find out anything, y'all let me know, please, ma'am, sir. I saw this when this got passed, and it just kind of, the law got passed, and only a handful of people made any comments about it or said anything about it. Why does this microphone sound like this? Said anything about it. But at some point, we're going to understand. So Renee Fowler says, rebuke them. Yeah, yeah. You all, and after we done rebuking, somebody, one of y'all's children is gonna be learning this at 12 o'clock in the afternoon after they come back from recess. After I come back, what you do today? Well, after I got through playing at recess, Miss Bird told me that it's okay for me to kiss Billy. How's it? I just want to know how is it gonna be done. How are we gonna do that? It's okay. It's okay for me to, right. What's the? I really want to know how they're going to do that. Somebody help me understand. Anyway, y'all, we got this really good article, and I'm about to pull it up shortly if I can get this other computer. There you go. Act right for me. Amen. We got this good article. Praising God through hard times. That's what we're gonna get into. And that's gonna help somebody today. I believe it's gonna bless somebody today. We're gonna jump into that in about 30 good seconds. Amen. In about 30 good seconds, we're gonna jump into that thing. Let me do this. Let me take this, and we'll be right back. TTLO. Be right back, y'all.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen, amen, amen. That's my brother, my brother Devon. You got that Barry, you got that Barry White going. Yeah. Amen. We got this good article, y'all. Praising God in hard times. That's today's topic. We're going to jump into that. Hopefully you guys are ready for that. We're going to jump right into it. This article is on the website, thelife.com. We found this one. My producer found this one for us on this website called thelife.com. That's where we got this one from. And we're going to jump right into this thing. Amen. The writer says this. He says, all of us have moments when we feel discouraged by life's circumstances. Yeah. He says, our loved ones may try to lighten our load or lift our spirits, but unfortunately, their efforts can fall short. We wonder if we will ever emerge from today's trying situation with our joys intact. That's going to help somebody real quick. He says, excuse me, the writer quotes Psalm 42 where he says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Then he goes on to say in Psalm 71, but I will keep on hoping for your help. I will praise you more and more. Now, these versions I'm reading, that was the New Living Translation of that. And then the other one was the NIV translation. But y'all know, because I'm old school and I am a little bit Baptist, I like to read the King James versions of some stuff. And King James says it like this. He says, why thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Then Psalm 71, the King James version, says it like this right here. He says, as for me, oh, my, come on now. He says, as for me, he says, but I will hope. Let me get it right now. Psalm 71 and 11. Come on, act right now, computer. Don't act up on me. Yeah, Psalms 71 and 14. He said it like this. He says, but I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. We're talking about praising God in hard times, praising God in hard times. And a lot of times it's difficult to do, right? I'm sure at some point all of us have had some sort of issues or situations in our lives where we have not felt like praising God, if we were honest. See, some of y'all, you know, you're too holy to admit that every now and then you just don't feel like giving God no praise. Uh-huh. But I like the way the writer is putting this. He goes on to say this. He says, it's good to know that our Father invites us to confide in him. He says, to share our feelings honestly in prayer. He cares for us and understands our needs and weaknesses. We can draw near to him by singing psalms or hymns or reflecting on his goodness and speaking well of him. Of course, there are times when this may seem too difficult, but when whispering a prayer of praise, can usher in a sense of liberty and peace. Now, here is the question, and I say this all the time. I say this in church on Sundays. I say it anytime I get the opportunity. It's easy to praise God when everything is going well, but how many of y'all can praise him when all hell is breaking loose? That's the question. That's the question. It's easy to praise him when all hell is breaking loose, but how many of y'all can give God some praise when all hell is breaking loose in your life? The writer goes on, he says this. He gives a few good points here. He says, keep on praising and keep on hoping. This is good. He says, the psalmist in Psalm 42 questions the reasons for his despair. Then he instructs himself to hope in God. The expression, I will still praise him, signifies an inner determination and a forward-facing outlook. Yeah, yeah. He says he persistently and continually and repeatedly praises the Lord. Come on now. This allows him to focus on God, his Savior, the one who will bring deliverance and victory. To have hope in God is to wait expectantly for him. Come on. Come on, somebody. He says, since he is faithful to help, we can know that we will praise him again. That gives us at least a vision of ourselves rejoicing in the future. Let me tell you what praise does. Praise moves you out of your current circumstance, and it starts to give you a vision of what the victory looks like. Now, if you can't praise him when you're going through, how are you going to know how to praise him when you come out? I'll let that marinate for a hot minute because some of y'all just missed that. If you can't praise God when you're in the midst of it, how are you going to know what victory looks like? What the psalm writer is saying is, I'm going to praise him continually anyway, continuously anyway, because I can see the vision on the other side. I see the light in the tunnel. I see the door opening on the other side. It don't matter how they act and how they treat me on this side. I see what God has for me on the other side. My. Come on. Then he says, praising God in the hard times doesn't minimize or deny heaviness of heart. Uh-oh. So you're not minimizing how you feel. You're not taking away from how you feel. That doesn't take away from the pain that you're going through, right? But it redirects our focus on who God is. Nobody's telling you not to feel the pain. Nobody's telling you not to feel the despair. Nobody's telling you not to feel the anger. Nobody's telling you to feel like you've been betrayed. Nobody is saying don't feel that way. But what the psalm writer was saying is, I'm going to redirect my focus on who God is. Can you make it plain, preacher? Yes, I can. I ain't going to worry about these folk who doing what they doing. I'm going to put my focus back on God. Come on, somebody help me. He says, God never changes. He promised never to leave or abandon his children. So we can count on his presence even, watch this, even when our emotions can't confirm it. The psalm writer says, he is near to the brokenhearted. Oh, my God. He is near to the brokenhearted. Where did I get that from? Psalm 34:18. Psalm 34:18 says it like this. He says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Huh? Let me get it. King James said it like this. The Lord is nigh unto them that are brokenhearted and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. What does that mean? I heard Johnny L. Miller preaching like this at Mount Vernon one time. He said, I got to learn to trust him even when I can't trace him. Huh? Come on now. Even when it don't feel right, I got to praise him anyway. Even when it don't look like there is no good time on the other side of this, I have to trust God anyway. That's okay. I ain't going to get no amens. Amen. Amen, Walls. I can say it like that. Y'all got to start to recognize that it ain't about your circumstances. Huh? It ain't about your circumstances. It ain't never about your circumstances. Let me drop this one in here for you real quick. Where'd it go? Let me drop this. So keep on praising and keep on hoping. That's where it is. Keep on praising and keep on hoping. That's number one. Let me put that in there real quick. First point. Got to drop them in there for you real quick. That's number one. Number two says this. He says, the writer goes on to say this. He says, praise is possible. Uh-oh. Praise is possible. What are you talking about, preacher? This is what the writer says. He says, there have been times when I thought I'll never be encouraged. He says, yet as soon as I begin to remind myself of his goodness and mercy, the clouds disperse. Oh, come on now. Come on now. He says, now this doesn't mean that the problems will suddenly disappear or that it will be smooth sailing from here on out. But it does mean that my face will brighten again and the weight of burden will lessen. Mm-hmm. He says, I'll be able to experience the joy of the Lord in the midst of life's storms and challenges. Come on now. Then he says, it is possible to praise the Lord in hardship. In one sense, here we go, is a key word that we've been using a lot this week, choice. It's a choice, not a feeling. Uh-huh. He says, it's a choice, not a feeling. It becomes kind of a personal battle cry. Even when our hearts run as slow to a crawl and our shout has died to a whimper, we can wait on our good Father with fierce expectation. The reason some of y'all sitting in y'all mess is because you don't have any expectancy that God gonna show up and fix this thing. See, this is why I don't let foolery stay around me too long. I get mad for a hot minute. I may even get upset for a hot minute. But then I just have to remember God reminds me who he is and who's in charge. And the minute he reminds me of who he is and who's in charge, you think I let this pettiness and this foolishness bother me? You think I let what a Negro got to say bother me? You think I let what somebody who look here who ain't got the sense God gave them say to me? Because you know what? It's a whole lot of folk walking around that's bitter and old and lonely, and they want you to be bitter and old and lonely too. Huh? Bitter and old love company. Look, I'm going to get old at some point. Matter of fact, I'll be a little older on tomorrow. But I ain't never finna be walking around bitter. That ain't who God made me to be. But you got some folk who want you to walk around because they're constantly living in unhappiness. They want you to be unhappy. They don't like their situation, and they're looking for somebody else. So in order for me to take my mind off all of my mess, I'm going to keep you in some mess. But I know who God is. I like what he says here. The writer says this. He says, he is faithful and true. If we can't praise him for our circumstances, oh, this is good. This is rich. He says, if we can't praise him for our circumstances, we can praise him in spite of them. We can praise him in spite of them. Watch this. Look, I ain't going to praise God for the mess, but I'm going to praise him in spite of the mess. Huh? He goes on to say, ultimately, it's the Lord who heals the distressed soul. The Holy Spirit causes our hearts to, watch this now, overflow with hope. Come on now. Overflow with hope. He turns the light on where once there was only darkness. There's power in the flow of the Spirit, knowing he'll meet us when we are most broken in the beautiful reality of living the abundant life. Huh? What is that, preacher? Can you make that plain for me? God will meet you where you at. You ain't got to go somewhere else. You ain't got to go do nothing crazy. God will meet you where you are. And the question is, can you praise him where you are? Can you turn that volume down? God will praise you. Can you praise him where you are? Can you praise him where you're at? Huh? Can I give you an example? I believe it's around the book of Acts, chapter 17. Y'all pray for me. Y'all know I tap a scripture. Acts chapter 17, somewhere around the 25th verse. I believe that's where it is. Somewhere around there. I believe that's where it is. Y'all, let me try to find it. Let me try to find it right here. Ooh, Lord. Come on. I believe that's where it is. You know that the one with Paul and Silas. You know that, and at midnight. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That scripture. That's the one. I believe that's where it is. This shows how God will show up in your situation. Acts chapter 16. It's 16, not 17. I told y'all, know I tied up. I was in the book, just on the wrong page. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. I'm going to read something. It's 25 and 34. Watch this now. Paul and Silas are in prison. Can I give you some backstory on this? Because I want to make sure you get this fully about praising God in hard time situation. In the book of Acts, let me get down here. Paul and Silas were thrown in jail, right? And so they were thrown in jail, and it said, watch this, and I'm going to start at 20. It says, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly to trouble our city. So they got locked up for doing the Lord's work. They got locked up, criticized, beat up for doing the Lord's work. So then it says, and the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rented off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So they got beat, mocked, and scorned, and then thrown in jail, the bottom of the jail. And watch this. Verse 23 says, and when they had many stripes upon them, stripes meaning whips. Y'all do know stripes, right? Stripes means whips. When they had many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who had received such a charge, thrust them in, watch this, not just in jail, but in the inner prison. So not only were they thrown in jail, as my great-grandmama used to say, they was thrown under the jail. They was put under the jail, and then, watch this, not only were they thrown in jail, they were shackled. Watch this. Then watch how the praise, praising God in hard times. Watch what Paul and Silas did. It says, and at midnight. I like that part. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. That's all it says. It doesn't say, Lord, get us out. Oh, woe is me. Lord, why am I here? Oh, Lord, why are they still picking on me? Lord, why are they talking about me? Lord, why are they lying on me? Lord, no, that ain't what it says. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. He says in the book of Acts 26, he says, and suddenly, just because of the praise now, and suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Watch this. That's because they praised him despite their circumstances. They didn't praise God for the fact that they were locked up. They praised God in spite of the fact that they were locked up. What does that mean to you? That means don't praise God because the folks mistreating you. You ain't got to be mad and upset that folks don't want you in certain places and certain areas and you're no longer invited to this and that and the third. So what? Watch this. Praise God in spite of that. Come on now. Told some folks this other day. Y'all mad because you ain't got the car. Look here. You might not have the car you want. Praise God for the car you got. This is rich. This is rich. This is rich. My. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. The writer goes on to say this. He says this again. He says, he is faithful and true. I got to read this again. He says, if we can't praise him for our circumstances, we can praise him in spite of our circumstances. That's good right there. Somebody should have went on in right there. Somebody at work should have just got up and took a lap. Don't get fired because I don't blame it on me. I'm just telling you, somebody should have got up and got happy right then. Right then. Then let's go. That was number two. Number three says this. Pray. This is the last one. Pray and reaffirm. Uh-oh. Pray and then reaffirm. The writer says it like this. He says, when we think
thankful is for you.
All you got to do is pat your foot and tell him he's worthy. Come on now. Come on now. God is still good. Amen. Amen. Let's finish this up. The writer says this. He says, when we think of praise, it may help to note that this includes thanksgiving, speaking well of God, confessing faith, and a vast array of adoring expressions. He says, I think the enemy knows that as long as we wait for everything to line up before we praise God, we will stay stuck longer than we need to. Oh, that's going to help somebody. Y'all got to stop waiting for it to work out. You got to stop waiting for it to get better. You got to praise God like it's already better. Come on, see, y'all just missed that. See, if I was in church and I had me somebody on the organ right now, somebody would have went. Y'all waiting on it to get better. Praise him while you're in it and praise him like it's already better. Because, see, Satan wants you to sit back and say, well, you know, you just keep waiting. Oh, when it gets better, then you can praise God. No, I'm gonna praise him like it's already done. Huh? Felicia says, it's my choice to stay in my seat. Come on now. He says, watch this. We'll stay stuck longer than we need to. We can still praise him, watch this, not because our circumstances changed, but you can praise him because he's worthy. Woo, my God. We can still praise him for what he did on the cross. Oh, see, somebody ought to get happy. We can still praise him for what he did on the cross. Then the writer says, true joy and peace does not originate with us, but it comes to us as a gift and fruits of God's grace. He says, may we always pour out our hearts, our hurting hearts to him. Yeah, that's good. May we always pour out our hurting hearts to him. Y'all help me with this today. May we always pour out our hurting hearts to him. And then he says, prayer and then reaffirm. Uh-huh. He says, I'm still going to praise him. Why? Because I have hope. I'm still going to praise him. Why? Because he's faithful to help. Even if he haven't helped yet, he's faithful to help. What does that mean? That means, look, I'm going to praise him because I know eventually he's going to show up. I'll take it a step further. Don't want to get deep. I'll praise him even if he don't show up. Because as the songwriter says, if he don't do nothing else, he's already, come on, done enough. Then he says, I'll praise him because he's faithful to help, and I'll praise him because he's my God. Whether I understand everything or not, with an answer or without one, Psalm 34 and 1 says it like this, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. That means I'm going to praise him regardless. I don't care what it look like. I don't care what lie they tell. I don't care what rumor they start. I'm going to praise him with my whole heart every chance I get. That's what Psalm 34 said. Psalm 34 said it. I'll say it again. It said it just like that. I will praise him. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Then I like the part it goes on. I know this ain't in the article, but I'm going to go ahead on because I feel this thing. He says, and my soul shall make a boast in the Lord. Come on now. And the humble shall hear thereof. Yeah, yeah. And then I like the third verse where it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Yeah, then if you skip on down, look at somewhere it's in there. I believe down somewhere around the eighth verse. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, y'all. That's it. Let me stop. Woo, bless him. This here, this will work for me. I don't know if it's working for you, but it'll work for me. Y'all just got to learn how to praise God in spite of some folk. Praise God in spite of some folk. That's right, my mom. That's right. Praise him anyhow. Amen. Look, y'all, this has been a good show. It's been a good time. I thank my mama for my surprise visit. Y'all heard her? Y'all, okay, right. You. Oh God! Y'all pray for my mama. Amen. Y'all, it's been a good week, y'all. It's been a good week. In spite of situations and circumstances, even the craziness in our community, y'all continue to praise God anyhow. Just praise him anyhow, y'all. It's been a good time. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank you, God, for this time. God, we thank you, God, in spite of our circumstances. God, we praise you in spite of our shortcomings. Lord, we praise you in spite of our situations, God. We praise you in spite of our circumstances, God. We praise you, God, simply not because you're going to do anything more, God, but we're just going to praise you because of who you are and what you've already done. So, Lord, we just say thank you right now for being God and being, and I don't want to sound cliche, but for being God and God all by yourself. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Now, God, as we get ready to leave this place, but never your presence, God, we continue to lift up the name of Jesus wherever we go, God. Now, we ask for traveling mercies and grace as we drive through these special streets called Chicago, and we'll be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, it's been wonderful. It's been great. Let me say this again. I thank y'all in advance for y'all birthday wishes. Tomorrow is the big 48 for me. Yeah, 48. I know, 48. 48 look good, don't it? Hell, watch out now. I get it from my mama. I get it from my mama. The black don't crack, y'all. It don't crack. It's good stuff. I got good genes. Good gene from my mama. Started with her right there, from my mama. Started with her and my great grandmama. That is good genes, y'all. Anyway, I got to go, y'all. Y'all stay blessed. And again, if you got to drive through these special streets we call Chicago, we call Chicago, please do me a favor, ma'am and sir, keep your heads on the swivel. Y'all stay blessed. And the victory, y'all know this better than anybody, victory belongs to God. I got to go. Be blessed.
Against our kings, no one cares.